Jesus said, "Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known." The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 26. America has been overrun by a seemingly invisible force. However, if you look real close, you will see clues that bring clarity to the mystery of growing iniquity that has a stranglehold on America. Ground Zero is Washington, D.C., and specifically the People's House, more commonly known as the White House, which is now a wholly owned subsidiary of the God-haters and America-haters among us. If you think that is overstating the level of evil present in Washington, D.C., you won't think so after my conversation with author and researcher Johnny Cerucci on this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, Damare said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and chips and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hello, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or Stitcher. We appreciate you'd leave a review and a rating when you do that. You can follow us on Twitter or on Facebook. And, of course, you can listen to every episode on our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. It's my blessing and privilege to have my good friend Johnny Cerucci back on the Soaring Eagle Radio Show. Welcome, Johnny.
Thanks so much, Pastor Mike, for having me. And you are indeed a good friend. I don't know how much your listeners follow us and know, but had my first and my best opportunity to do an all-day conference at your church, and very proud of what you made possible. Thank you for that.
Well, we're very blessed to do that, and that's a good thing to point out for our listeners. That is, those conference sessions are out on YouTube. You can find those by looking up or searching for Calvary Chapel of Lima, and those episodes are out there. And, Johnny, are those also on your website?
Yes, sir. I have my own website, johnnycerucci.com, and currently I still have my YouTube channel, Johnny Cerucci on YouTube, although it's a constant battle with this copyright games that Google and YouTube like to play with you. Do you know, Pastor, I played I got great feedback during that conference when I played little clips of movies and TV shows. YouTube banned the third video because I had a clip from Star Trek in the middle of the video. They found that clip, and they used that clip as a reason to take that portion down. You believe that?
Wow. Well, you know what that tells me? They are spending an inordinate amount of time combing through information and resources such as you provide, information that you provide, just to find an excuse to ban it. That's really something.
That's exactly what it is. It clearly falls within fair use parameters. If you have something, it's not a matter of being able to replicate and download for money a full Star Trek episode. It was a simple 5-minute clip for the entertainment of the audience to elucidate a point, which falls clearly into fair use parameters, but that didn't matter. And because I don't have deep pockets in order to find a good copyright lawyer, they can do with us as they please.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, we want to discuss some of the things that we see going on in America today, Johnny, and it you are well versed on this. You write about it often. You interview and provide a lot of information and content for anybody that's interested in getting the real scoop and the real movers and shakers behind what's presented as true news, which in fact we know is for the most part fabricated. So I would encourage our listeners to check that out, and that's Resistance Rising. That's your podcast, isn't that, Johnny?
Yes, sir, on Blog Talk Radio, absolutely. And I, 20-year military veteran, and I just had a point in my life where I was saturated with conservative talking heads, conservative talk shows, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, Rush Limbaugh, the whole gamut there. It just seemed like they were doing the same thing over and over and over again. And getting nowhere. It seemed like every time I turned around, we were constantly losing. As far as politics goes and as far as Washington DC goes, it always seemed like we had two fights. We had the hardcore, full steam ahead, hard left with the Democrat Party, and the false always give way, always lose the battle Republican Party. And I'll tell you, it was the advent of Barack Hussein Obama that really shook me in regards to having faith in those same talking heads. It seemed like they really kind of pulled their punches in regards to hitting Barack Obama where it hurt, trying to really damage him. It was clear with the candidacy of John McCain. I'll never forget when McCain beat down that radio talk show host who tried to warm up his audience for him at one stomping ground by emphasizing Barack Obama's middle name of Hussein.
Yeah.
McCain actually berated him for that, and I was like, oh my goodness, is this guy trying to throw the election?
Yeah.
And turns out that's exactly what he did, you know?
Yeah.
So it was with this realization that, wow, all of the people, I mean, big name people that I was relying on to be on my side, to fight my battles for me, really seemed to be pulling their punches, really seemed like they were being paid to take a dive. And it was the fact that, number one, they weren't hitting Barack Obama hard enough where it could hurt him. And I'll tell you what really iced it for me was the supposed killing of Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
I actually had inside information in the military. I had an insider source from the special operations community that told me they knew that it was not what it was put out to be. It was not the official story, was not accurate, and almost for certain that Osama bin Laden was not dead. Heck, I went and I did some research and found various quotes from people that said that bin Laden was already dead. Benazir Bhutto, the former prime minister of Pakistan, very dynamic female prime minister of Pakistan, told Robert Frost on his Frost Around the World she knew the man who killed bin Laden. And Frost had his head up his six, went right over it, dribbling in his microphone, didn't even question her. Are you kidding me, bin Laden? No, didn't even stop and question her. And what a surprise. A little bit later on, poor Benazir Bhutto herself was murdered, executed. And Wayne Madsen, former NSA analyst, I actually believe he's still working for the intelligence agencies. But he did put out and admit that the CIA was implicated in Benazir Bhutto's death.
Yeah.
So, you know, honestly, Pastor, go ahead. What were you
going to say? No, I was just going to say that is a great run-up to exactly the topic that we want to start with tonight, and that is our president, Barack Hussein Obama, the night, this is what I call it, Johnny. The nightmare on Pennsylvania Avenue is now in its eighth year. America's been run right over a cliff, and this was no accident. I recall vividly Obama's continued criticism toward the Republican Party, in many cases rightfully deserved. But the caricature that he made about the Republicans driving the bus off the road got me to thinking about that. And the fact of the matter is that he's drove America completely over the cliff, but he's done it intentionally. This was not an accident. This was not due to the uncooperation of the Republican Party. But this has been designed and intentionally done to drive America to this place. So we want to talk about this tonight, Johnny, on this episode. A little bit about our president, the background. Most of this people know, but I've read your work, and you've got a lot of information and research that most people aren't talking about. So we want to touch on that. And we want to start, if we could, Johnny, with the fact that Barack Hussein Obama came out of nowhere. His first political office, he was basically an unknown, but he had some pretty interesting people backing him up and supporting him, and one of them was called Bill Ayers.
You bet. It almost seems as if that Barack Hussein Obama had his past written for him.
Yes.
I want a full disclosure for your audience. I'm a born again Christian. I'm a former Catholic, and in my search for answers as to who it is that is ruling the world, is pulling these strings, I've run against the wall with this anger and frustration over how we who love America, mm-hmm. us good Christians and patriots that love America, continue to lose battles. Yeah. Why we keep losing battles. There's a force, an unseen entity, a man behind the curtain. Who is it? Mm-hmm. My research has shown me, shockingly, it's Rome and the Vatican, and their best, their special forces in this battle is an order of priests known as the Jesuits, the horribly misnamed Society of Jesus. I prefer to call them the Company of Loyola after their founder, Ignacio Lopez, mm-hmm. who was Ignatius of Loyola, a Basque nobleman. And that's a whole other story. But
interestingly enough, our current pope is also from the Society of Jesus, isn't he?
Shocking. Shockingly so. Yeah, shocking. Yeah. So really, it should be shocking to, there's 1.2 billion Catholics, and for those Catholics that are listening or curious or patriotic or lean to the right, have good right-leaning values that we share those values with them, they need to be aware and concerned that the Jesuit order, the company as they're called, and it's no coincidence, by the way, that the CIA is also called the company.
Right. Right.
Should be known for their extreme loyalty to the Pope, and now they have one of their own as the Pope. As a matter of fact, the top man in the Jesuit order, Adolfo Nicholas, is known as the Black Pope because of his extreme power that he has over world affairs, also because of these supposed humble black priestly cassock that he wears. It has a dual meaning to it, but he took over from Peter Hans Kolbenbach, who stepped down, unprecedented, in the same way that Joseph Ratzinger, Benedict XVI, also stepped down. So in absentia, we have four popes. We have two black popes and two white popes, and three of them are Jesuits. So their reach, their power is unheard of, and that's the purpose of my ministry, is to wake good Christians up to this. There really are no more Protestants left. We're fast approaching the 500-year anniversary of Martin Luther nailing his 95 Theses on the doors of All Saints Cathedral in Wittenberg, mm-hmm. And to date, it's disappeared. There's total ecumenical camaraderie,
yes.
Because people don't know. Ask your audience, have you ever heard of Fox's Book of Martyrs?
Yes,
if you have,
right.
Do you have any idea what it's written? It's written about to explain to you all of the horrors that Christians, born-again Christians, endured at the hands of the Vatican, at persecution, horrible torture at the hands of Rome. But to bring you back to your question is in regards to Barack Obama and Bill Ayers, it would seem that he came out of nowhere and that his past was written for him. Dreams from my
yes.
father.
Yes.
Jack Cashel, by the way, Jack is a good Catholic, Catholic educated, was the man that disclosed how Bill Ayers ghost wrote Dreams from My Father for mm-hmm. Barack Obama. Barack, how do we have a president that has multiple aliases?
Yes.
How is that even possible?
Right.
How do we have a president whose social security number is that of a dead man from Connecticut, a state he's never lived in?
That's right. Yes, exactly.
How is that even possible? It should chill anyone who sees the evidence of that to understand that this man, look, all you have to do is watch him in a conference. He can't speak literally. Was it Falls Church? He spoke to a classroom of sixth graders. I want to say Falls Church, Virginia, with teleprompters.
No kidding.
He spoke in a sixth grade classroom. I invite your audience to look that up. Barack Obama, sixth graders teleprompter. You will find an actual story on how this man, he can't go anywhere without a set of teleprompters. Why? Because he is 100% a puppet. Now, that brings it back to your original point, Pastor Mike. He is the tip of the spear for the destruction
yes.
of this country.
Yeah.
What you need to know is he's only carrying out orders.
Yes.
And in his training to be a radical leftist communist, we have a Jesuit. A Jesuit by the name of Greg Galluzzo, Galluzzo.
Mm-hmm.
A great column to look up would be New York Times, The Catholic Roots of Obama's Activism. Galluzzo worked out of the Gamaliel Foundation. Now, here's another trick that the Jesuits have learned. Since the suppression of the Templars in 1307 on Unlucky Friday, October 13th, they were tracked down by their names and their faces, tortured horribly for their secrets and their information, which some of them didn't deserve and some of them deserved. There were horrible accusations of Templars that were Satanists, that were involved in perverse sexual rights. Look, it's true of any powerful organization that has aggregated wealth and pull strings behind the scenes. They get into demonism. They get into Satanism. That's the true source of their
yeah,
power.
Okay.
So with the suppression of the Templars in 1307, those who came after the Templars, particularly those in Rome who followed in their footsteps, learned never again to put their names and their faces to their machinations. They needed a fall guy. And since that time, they have made poor, hapless Jews their targets, the shield by which they hide behind.
Yeah.
And so they find Jews who are willing, unfortunately, to be enabled, to be enriched, just to be a target for them. And so the Jesuits created this Gamaliel Foundation to augment their activism.
Yeah.
And Chicago is their capital of radical communist activism. And Greg Galluzzo was working there out of the Gamaliel Foundation, and one of his star pupils was Barack Hussein Obama. And like I said to your audience, I can look this up, New York Times, Catholic Roots of Obama's Activism. A quick quote, it's been 4 years since, this was written in 2014, I think, since Barack Obama threw an arm around Greg Galluzzo in Iowa and confided in him whether anybody asked that his presidential campaign had so quickly assembled its grassroots operation, he would credit Greg Galuzzo's mentorship. So, we even have, it's sad to say that as you look through our alternative media or right-wing media community, you'll find a lot of Catholic voices that are playing dual roles, almost like double agents, Pastor Mike.
Yeah.
People like Dame of Malta, Phyllis Schlafly, a devout Roman Catholic, who mentioned in her column the Catholic connection to Barack Obama, that Saul Alinsky had perfected communist community organizing, and as a result, hapless, unknowing, unwilling Catholic organizations had bankrolled Barack Obama.
Yes.
Well, it's the other way around. Jewish communists were being used as a means to an end by not a hapless, but a very knowing, a very shrewd Catholic power structure.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to read between the lines.
Yes.
And just like you said, another great source for the Bill Ayers connection, Joel Gilbert's Dreams from My Real Father.
Yes,
that's Barack Obama to hardcore pornographer, the man that Gilbert claims was his actual father.
Oh, Frank Marshall Davis.
Frank Marshall Davis, of course. There it is. Yeah, it came up as you mentioned him.
Yeah.
He was a member of the Communist Party.
Yes.
He wrote for the Defender, was a Catholic, Chicago communist newspaper.
Yeah.
It was also a connection with, it was his, Valerie Jarrett. Yeah. Her father-in-law also wrote for the Defender in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, if there's anyone who knows, if there's any group of people who knows how to stir up racial strife as a weapon, it is the Jesuits. The Jesuits found disenfranchised blacks in Chicago and pushed them towards communism to be to weaponize them. That's exactly what they did through men like Frank Marshall Davis, a horrible, evil man, and their connection. That's why Valerie Jarrett is her personal confidant. You and I are paying for her Secret Service entourage.
Yeah.
Who is Valerie Jarrett that she is totally protected by our tax dollars? She is who was installed by Vatican powers to be Barack Obama's hardcore communist voice in the ear, whispering in his ear.
Johnny, is it fair to say that two of the current manifestations of the Jesuit plan to weaponize minorities, to create radicalized minorities, two of the current manifestations is the new Black Panther Party, as well as Black Lives Matter? Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the way they do this control, I'm going to pull my notes up on this, is, believe it or not, through the Freemasons.
Yeah.
What they use the Freemasons as their foot soldiers in this fight. And again, this secretive organization has tendrils in both the minority communities and the law enforcement communities.
Yes.
And so they have what I have found, many of these racial shootings are actually false flags. They're either created or fabricated in order to inflame racial hatred and stir the pot to divide America. And in order to keep this cauldron burning and to give them cover for what's really going on in the background.
And they're quite effective.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh, my goodness. And so you have this being blown way out of proportion, needlessly so. There are Freemasonic connections to several of these false flag shootings, the Carolina shootings, there are endless. It's really sickening that they have to utilize this secret society. It gives them plausible deniability because there's this misnomer that Freemasons and the Roman Catholic Church are bitter enemies. In reality, through the Jesuits, they're just their foot soldiers. They're completely controlled. There are some great examples that I cite in my book, Illuminati Unmasked, of Pierre Charles L'Enfant, the Freemason who designed Washington, D.C., one of the most esoteric, Gnostic, Freemasonic architectural, I don't want to say wonders, but clearly look up Freemasonic architecture of Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And it is shocking.
Yeah.
L'Enfant was a Roman Catholic. And I cite the actual, it's Hudson number 2 or number 42. I cited in my book his lodge, his Freemasonic lodge. He was fired by George Washington himself, who was a Catholic puppet, a Jesuit puppet. A Jesuit by the name of Leonard Neal was his handler, was George Washington's handler. Leonard Neal was called to George Washington's deathbed. George Washington kept a painting of the Virgin Mary in his home. It's a Catholic website's claim, proudly proclaimed George Washington died as a Catholic because Jesuit Leonard Neal was brought to his deathbed. They're old friends. But,
Johnny, I want to give the listeners, one example. You just mentioned, L'Enfant. What was his name again?
Pierre Charles L'Enfant.
L'Enfant. As being the primary, the chief architect for plotting, laying out the city of Washington, D.C. And I seem to recall, I don't remember if it was in your book or if I read this someplace else, but even down to the minutest details of where buildings would be built in relation to different monuments, and one of the examples that I recall is the Washington Monument being directly or perpendicular to the Capitol building. And do you recall what those two symbols represent?
The reason for that is that Washington, D.C. was designed to be Rome on the Potomac.
Yeah.
In Rome, the Vatican consists of St. Peter's Cathedral. Mm-hmm. And in the courtyard, St. Peter's courtyard, there is an obelisk that was stolen from Egypt, mm-hmm. and transported there to be across from the dome of St. Peter's Basilica, mm-hmm. that is so famously decorated by Michelangelo. Mm-hmm. And the reason for this is shocking. It is an attempt to call forth satanic black magic based on reproductive rituals.
Right.
The obelisk is meant to mimic the body parts of Nimrod, later transformed in Egyptian mythology to be Osiris. Mm-hmm. And as the myth goes, Nimrod, of course, myth mixed with truth, that's how it was so popular.
Yeah.
Nimrod, the founder of the first rebellion, was, as some of the Jewish writings tell us, was, just as I said, it's behind the Tower of Babel, behind the combining of world, behind the first world rebellion, to rebel specifically against Yahweh, against the Lord. And as a result of his rebellion, he was captured by Shem, the good son of Noah, the progenitor of the Hebrew race, executed for his treason, and chopped up into parts. Well, the myth, the legend goes that his wife Semiramis collected the parts and pieced him back together.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, she was unable to find his reproductive parts there. And different legends will say different things. Some legends will say that Dagon, the fish god, produced the parts, pulled them up out of the Euphrates, or that Dagon became temporarily Nimrod, and that he had relations with Semiramis.
Yeah.
Or other legends, other myths will say that Semiramis fabricated them herself, used them. The bottom line is there was a pregnancy that could not be explained by normal means.
Right.
And the result of that pregnancy was the chosen child, Tammuz. Now, this is really nothing more than a mimicry of our beloved Savior and his messianic, his miraculous messianic birth. Yeah. It's all they ever do is to mimic our truth and our reality. But you have this triangle of Semiramis, Nimrod, and Tammuz that was, as I say, later transformed into Isis. That sounds familiar. Isis, Isis, Osiris, mm-hmm. and Horus.
Yeah.
And this plays over and over again. Oh my goodness! Don't we have a brand new movie? How ridiculous are we that we have a brand new movie in theaters today that calls to mind these crazy, ridiculous Egyptian myths about Horus and Set and Osiris and the battles between Set and Horus? It's all a fabricated legend.
Yeah.
This is the demonic black magic power that the Roman Catholic Church attempted to call up by having a dome meant to mimic the womb of Semiramis or Isis placed across from an obelisk meant to mimic the private parts mm-hmm. of Nimrod or Osiris. And it's no coincidence that that architectural layout is perfectly mirrored in Washington, D.C. That's why I call it Washington Demonically Controlled.
Yes.
You have, and in fact, in Washington, it is much more obscene. The obelisk in Rome is a modest obelisk. I don't know off the top of my head the dimensions, but it doesn't reach above rooftops. And the obelisk across from the mall, across from the massive reflecting pool from the Capitol Rotunda, is a sickening, shocking, 555 feet tall? And in inches, it's 6,666 inches. That, if that tells you what you need to know.
Yeah.
And so what that is an attempt to call forth these demonic black reproductive rights powers. And it was a Roman Catholic Freemason, mm-hmm. Pierre Charles L'Enfant, that designed it all. And he was fired by another Catholic puppet, I'm afraid, George Washington. Many people will be shocked to hear me say that he was a Catholic puppet, but what they were not shocked about is George Washington's involvement in Freemasonry.
Yeah.
Now, if you know anything about Freemasonry, you know that they are Satan worshippers.
Yeah, right.
Especially at high levels. Gnosticism, which Paul himself, our beloved Apostle Paul, spent a great deal of writing trying to battle Gnosticism. Gnosticism can be summarized as salvation by secret and hidden knowledge.
Yes, that's right.
Which is a blasphemous heresy, an insult to our gospel message. Our gospel message, it couldn't get more wonderful, more simple. Love Jesus, go to heaven.
Amen.
Love Jesus, go to heaven. You, a child, can love Jesus and go to heaven. Yeah. Versus these Luciferians, literal Luciferians, who turn black into white and white into black, light for darkness, darkness for light. They are accursed, as it says in Isaiah chapter 5, cursed are you who call darkness and light, and light darkness.
Yeah.
That's why in every Masonic quote-unquote temple, you'll see these black and white squares on the floor. It's because it's what they do.
Yes.
Is they turn darkness for light, light for darkness. They take the Messiah, they take our Messiah, Christ Jesus, and they turn him into the bad guy, and they take our opponent, our adversary, Lucifer, and turn him into the bearer of light, Prometheus, mm-hmm. the poor, accursed one who was beat down by a vicious god.
Yes.
And all he wanted to do was help us out with knowledge.
Yes.
But as Paul says, knowledge makes arrogant, and love edifies.
Yes.
And that's what marks our two camps.
And we
love. Go ahead.
Well, we even see that today on television, and I hesitate to mention this because I don't want to give it any publicity whatsoever, but there is a program on television now that's simply called Lucifer, and of course I don't watch TV. I certainly wouldn't watch that if I did, but what I'm told and what I've read is that the plot line is to turn Lucifer to recreate his image into a poor, mistaken and misunderstood who just had the welfare of humankind at heart. And I'm shocked that it's still airing as far as I know.
Well, here's what I would tell my audience, I'll tell your audience. The world is run by our adversary. It's not owned by our adversary. Scripture is clear. The world, Colossians tells us, the world was made for Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Son of God, a literal Son of God, Adam, Son of God because he was made by God. He's not a son of man. He was given stewardship over the earth. He gave up his stewardship in rebellion. The blood of the cross earned us that stewardship back.
Yes.
And in an amazing miracle, those of us who are all Adam's offspring, we are all sons of men, the blood of Jesus Christ turns us into sons and daughters of God again.
Amen.
We are called back, and once we retain that royal lineage, once we claim the sacrifice of our Savior, we are now stewards back again of the earth. Here's the problem. The adversary has stolen the earth with a system. The system that I'm convinced is Mystery Babylon.
Yeah.
He owns, when he tempted our Savior, he tempted him not with the earth. It already belonged to Jesus. It still does to this day. He tempted him with what? The kingdoms of the world. Yeah. That's because that's what the enemy has done. He's created a system. He owns all the banks. He owns all the intelligence agencies. He owns all the militaries. He owns Hollywood. He owns the media. Yeah. He owns Mystery Babylon, the system. So he doesn't own the earth. He exploits the system and uses the system as a weapon.
Yes.
So as a result, this is what we fight against. And this is the crux of everything that I do, Pastor Mike. I would not even have the courage to poke my head up. These people, the Jesuits, are experts in assassination. They are experts in, they can destroy you seven ways from Sunday and not even blink an eye. They can destroy your reputation. They can use, they own all of the intelligence. With good reason, do I call the CIA the Catholic Intelligence Agency? Anyone in your audience can look up how many directors of the CIA are Catholics who have been Jesuit trained, from the founder of the OSS, William Donovan, who was a Knight of Malta and a devout Roman Catholic, to today's director of the CIA, John O. Brennan, Roman Catholic, Jesuit trained at Fordham, I believe. The number of CIA directors who are Jesuit trained Catholics greatly outnumbers. Look, not too long ago, we had a Supreme Court. By the way, I'm convinced that Antonin Scalia is still alive. We had a Supreme Court that was composed of six Catholics and three leftist target Jews placed on the Supreme Court just as targets. But the real power behind the Supreme Court is the Vatican. So these are people that have the power to murder. Look, anybody that doesn't believe. Instead of using two negatives, let me say this. Is there anybody that still believes that Lee Harvey Oswald murdered John Kennedy?
I would say no.
the FBI, which is also created by Charles Bonaparte, great-grandnephew of Napoleon Bonaparte, devout Roman Catholic, the FBI haphazardly actually proved that it was absolutely impossible for a man, even a well-trained man, to fire a bolt-action 6.5-millimeter Carcano from 200 yards away, two stories up, and hit our president as a moving target from behind and from in front.
Right.
The Oliver Stone movie is, Oliver Stone is unfortunately quite a hardcore leftist himself, but that movie JFK is exceptionally well done. And what's the best lines from that movie? Back into the left, back into the left. Mm-hmm. Clearly, even the Zapruder film, which many people who believe is edited, shows the President of the United States having his head jerk back into the left, and God forbid, a whole back of his head getting blown off, scattering across the car, and his wife jumping onto the trunk of the car to recover his remains.
Mm-hmm.
That's because he was shot in the front.
Yes.
He was shot under the bridge. He was shot off the grassy knoll. Mm-hmm. And he was murdered. So who is it that has the power and authority to murder a sitting president in broad daylight? The Central Intelligence Agency, manipulated by the Roman Catholic Church. So if they have that kind of power and authority, they have the power and authority to do whatever they want to whomever they want, except for one thing. You have one shield and one sword that you can use against them with total and complete power, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I would not even think twice to do what I do unless I was a passionate born-again Christian who was doing my best to live my relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He is the. I'm sitting in a house barely able to pay my bills, Pastor Mike. I have no power. I have very little reach because I can't afford an advertising agency. I tell you the story about how I got my book published in and of itself is a miracle. I would not even think to pursue this information that I tell people. Who is it that is really ruling the world from behind the scenes? I know. And the only reason I'm saying this, the only reason I have the courage to cross them, is I know that behind me is the King of Kings, Jesus
amen.
Christ.
Yes, amen. Yeah. Well, and I want to tie this together for our listeners before we move on, Johnny. Everything that you've just described answers a lot of questions that people have. Number one, how is it that we can have a sitting president whom we know virtually nothing about? It's as if he was invented. I think that was the way that you described it earlier. His background was written for him. He has no discernible friends, peers, acquaintances from prior to his first public appearance. Nobody recalls him being at any of the universities that he allegedly attended. His birth certificate belongs to another person. His education records are pretty much non-existent. His birth certificate has been proven to be a fraud. And people that investigate him, they have a habit of turning up dead. Now, who has the power and the ability to pull off that kind of a project to elevate someone to the most powerful position, arguably, in the world, and not have any background? And anybody who thinks about coming against him, and I think this answers the question of McCain, it answers the question of Romney, it answers the question of why the Republicans roll over and allow him to do whatever it is that he wants to do, is because there's a power behind Barack Hussein Obama, and they know this power, and they are very, very frightened of it. Is that an accurate assessment?
You're spot on, Pastor Mike. I tell people repeatedly, America is a captured operation, and it's entirely possible that America has been used and exploited from her inception. Mm. I wanted to say that the reason why Pierre-Charles L'Enfant was fired by George Washington was because he plowed over the House. The only people that he possibly could have crossed to get him fired was a more powerful Catholic family than he was by himself, and that's the Carroll family.
Mm, yes.
They
found it in
Charles,
Maryland.
Oh my goodness, yes. That yeah. Mary Land,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Based upon the holdings of George Calvert, Lord Baltimore, a devout Roman Catholic that helped set the toehold for the Vatican here in this country. As I said, it's not a coincidence that the NSA is based in Maryland. As a matter of fact, I have in my writing the original patent holder. The White House is not named after its color. It's named after its former owner, a Jesuit by the name of Andrew White.
Mm-hmm.
The patent holder for that land back in the 1600s, this is really creepy, was a Catholic sheriff named Francis Pope. He is, I have him listed as the seventh patent holder in Maryland. And recently, commemorating this anniversary, back when I visited you on my birthday, September 25th,
yes,
when Pope Francis came back and shockingly spoke to a joint session of Congress for the first mm-hmm. time in American history.
Yeah.
Pope Francis spoke on the ground that was once owned by Francis Pope, a devout Roman Catholic. Yeah. And so I tell people that this country, it's very possible. People say, well, where is America in prophecy? Listen, read Revelation 13.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 13 talks about the beast of the land and the beast of the sea, and how the beast of the land gave honor to the beast of the sea and made the world bow down before it. My contention is that is what we have been, without our will, without our volition, America has been turned into the beast of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Seas are used in scripture to imply people.
Yes.
And by describing the entity, a beast as a political entity, by describing the beast as a sea, as a political entity of land, it implies it was new, which could connect us to the new world. And as a result, we are the sword arm of the Vatican. It really is sickening when I tell people, as we were saying before, America is a capture operation from the Carroll family, Daniel, Charles, and John. John Carroll was a Jesuit priest, founded Georgetown. Georgetown, the epicenter of politics in Washington, D.C. Georgetown has trained so many of America's politicians and statesmen, it is sickening.
Yeah.
Sickening. From Jack Kennedy himself all the way up to William Jefferson Clinton.
Yes.
The number of Georgetown grads. I invite your audience to look up famous Georgetown alumni, and it will shock you. The Georgetown School of Foreign Service is even more shocking,
mm-hmm.
Named after Jesuit Edmund Walsh. Edmund Walsh was the Jesuit who was there at Nuremberg helping to translate what the Nazi officers were saying on trial, because it was that important to screen the Jesuit and Vatican role in elevating the Nazis and the Third Reich.
Yeah.
They were that. I have a picture of Edmund Walsh. You can look this up. You might be able to find it on the internet yourself, but don't go to Google. Google is the official
right.
search engine of the Vatican. I'm telling you, I tried to look up something from Revelation 13 about the Whore of Babylon, and it was expunged from Google.
Wow.
So please be careful. Google's not a verb.
Yeah.
I have a picture. Look up Edmund Walsh and General MacArthur.
Yeah.
And you will watch, and you'll see a picture of Edmund Walsh walking down almost arm in arm with General MacArthur.
Wow.
So the amount of influence, sickening, shocking, you know, not too long ago. So let's talk about Congress. Let's talk about Washington, D.C., and who's really in control there.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi, hardcore, radical left, never ran into a homosexual agenda, an abortion agenda, an agenda that weakened America she didn't love and went whole forward.
Yeah.
Roman Catholic, Nancy Pelosi admits herself that her mentor was a Jesuit, Stephen J. Privet, who is president of San Francisco University. It's a Jesuit institution. She was Speaker of the House. Who did she turn it over to? She turned the gavel over to John Boehner, devout Roman Catholic, Jesuit educated. He was educated at Marianist Moeller High School and Jesuit educated at Xavier College.
Yep.
She installed the first Catholic priest as House Chaplain, Daniel P. Coughlin, and Boehner installed the first Jesuit as House Chaplain, Patrick J. Conroy. And who has the gavel now?
Yeah.
Paul Ryan. Let me invite your listeners to look up Wall Street Journal. Ryan's Catholic roots reach deep. Peter Nichols and Mark Peters from August 2012. So again and again and again, look up how many Jesuit-trained Roman Catholics the supposed communist Muslim Barack Hussein Obama has installed. A sickening number of, again and again, clearly, that he's being told who to install. Goodness. And his critical positions. Secretary of Defense. Our current Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter, good Roman Catholic, educated at St. John's, Oxford, the Counter-Reformation College. He replaced Chuck Hagel. Now, Chuck Hagel claimed he was Episcopalian, which I jokingly say is Catholic light. Yeah. But apparently Hagel was Catholic enough to teach at Georgetown.
Mm.
Hagel took over from Leon Panetta. Leon Panetta, devout Roman Catholic from California, was a nobody congressman from California. When he was elevated to take over the office of management and budget, he was also became Jesuit educated at Georgetown, William Jefferson Clinton's chief of staff. He was resuscitated by Barack Obama to become Secretary of Defense and director of the CIA.
Yes.
Is that possible? Well, it's because Leon Panetta was educated at Santa Clara, the Jesuit College of the Silicon Valley. This goes on again and again. The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Irish Catholic Martin Dempsey, who took over from him, Joseph Dunford, United States Marine Corps, Jesuit educated at Georgetown.
Yes.
The list is endless, and it's only there for people who have the wherewithal, hey, wait a minute, let me ask some questions. I have a format that I tell my audience to look for. What is this person's religion? Pick anybody. Are they, I hate to say it, I don't want to slander 1.2 Roman Catholics. Here's what they use. If you're a Roman Catholic, they can exploit your dedication to your religion. And eventually, if they bring you into their circles, they can make you do things you normally wouldn't do out of loyalty to your faith. Now, not everybody is going to be able to be manipulated that way, but that's what a Jesuit education does. It tests you for that. So, number one, are they themselves a Roman Catholic? Do they have close family members who are Roman Catholic? Have they been Catholic educated or Jesuit educated? Then look to secret societies. Are they a member of a secret society, particularly a Catholic secret society? Knights of Malta, Knights of the Equestrian Order, Knights of Columbus. Then look to other secret societies that are actually controlled by the Vatican and by the Jesuits. Skull and Bones and the Freemasons are secretly controlled by the Vatican. If you include all of those criteria, Pastor Mike, that's almost everybody and anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere in power and authority in the spotlight. Now, they don't have the reach to control all 535 members of Congress. They don't need to.
That's right.
All they need to do is cover key positions. Speaker of the House. Joe Biden, devout Roman Catholic from Delaware, who was given an honorary degree by the Jesuits in my beloved state, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, in Scranton.
Yeah.
Everywhere you turn. In fact, there's I think it was the Washington Post had this smoke and mirrors. Yeah, Washington Post. Paul Ryan, Joe Biden, A Tale of Two Catholics, where they paint this picture of, oh, how is it possible that you have two Roman Catholics, devout Roman Catholics, on two totally opposite ends of the political spectrum? Ding, 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 you're being played.
Yes.
That's how they answer to the same authority, and they're playing you. From CNN to Fox News, they're playing you.
Yes.
They're getting frothed up and excited about things that mask their true purpose. That's what made me write the book in the first place. How is it possible we keep losing? How is it possible that our own institutions are treating us as their worst enemies? How is it possible that police officers, and I'm getting upset, police officers dress up in camouflage and body armor and drive my MRAPs that I drove in Iraq down my main street?
Yes.
It's because they've been put up to it by these traitors to treat me as an enemy of war.
Yes, that's right. And all of this, Johnny, explains very clearly It's connecting the dots, the history and everything that you're describing. For me, a hot button issue that remains, and I believe that it is for you too, you are a military vet as I am, a hot button issue that remains for me is Benghazi. And I look at this and I just marvel at the ability of Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and the rest of the gang to remain unscathed by this travesty that they not only permitted, that's being too kind, but that they actually orchestrated and instructed our military commanders to stand down, not to make any attempt to rescue our SEAL team members that were there trying to defend. And I marvel at this, and I think, how in the world can this go on? And now one of them is running for president of the United States and has a very good chance of being elected president with this on her resume. How can any of this happen unless there's a very powerful control mechanism in place behind the scenes?
This is the reason why I wrote the book, Pastor. I meticulously detail 2,000 citations in my book. Anyone can look up these citations. If you get the Kindle version, it's less than $8 on Amazon. It should actually have hyperlinks. You can click on the hyperlink yourself and go to some of these citations. Benghazi is one of the big examples I use early on in the book. Fast and Furious is another example. If I had a dime for every time I've seen some Republican fraud have a meme posted for them on Facebook, Trey Gowdy, the list goes on and on. Trey Gowdy just excoriates Hillary Clinton over Benghazi, or Ted Cruz just nails Eric Holder on Fast and Furious. Right. Daryl Issa tells Eric Holder, you own Fast and Furious. Yeah. And if you bought that again and again and again, you got egg on your face.
Yeah.
Eric Holder laughed his way into retirement. Yeah. He gave automatic weapons, 50 caliber sniper rifles, explosives, RPGs, literal, I have the citations, I'm not exaggerating, in my book, to a vicious Mexican drug cartel, the Sinaloa drug cartel. I have citations of a key child, offspring of the leader of the Sinaloa drug cartel, telling you that he was in league with the United States government. He was captured in Chicago, and boy, I'm sure he's out on the street today. How is it possible that you can have, well, we had an 8-month-long, vicious, illegal, treasonous war with Libya. What did Libya do to deserve having their... And listen, I've been to Iraq. I was in Iraq when they're in the years after the beginning of the war, and they still had no infrastructure. Those people are living in squalor on purpose. Everything that we did made more enemies on purpose. Everything that I did as a soldier was so sickeningly counterproductive. People would buy me lunch at the airport and say, thank you for what I be in uniform. Thank you so much for what you do. And they turn around and they hold their arms up like they're a prisoner of war and go through a naked body scanner and have microwaves beamed through their body, give them God only knows what.
Yeah.
And then, but tell me, thank you for what you, what did I do? I did nothing to give you your freedom. I did nothing to safeguard your freedom. My sacrifice did nothing for you. We had an 8-month illegal war in Libya that destroyed that country, put that country back in the Stone Age. Yeah. And what was the result? The result was that their national level, high level munitions that should never have fallen into the hands of so-called jihadists were then being handed out, particularly SA-7 Grails, manned portable surface-to-air missiles, were being handed out by the CIA, traitors of the CIA, for use in Syria. This is how totally controlled media is. When Benghazi first hit, what were we told? Oh, it was an accident. Something happened at our embassy. Mm-hmm. And we had no idea. It was over before we realized what was going on. And then we later found out... It didn't happen that quickly. It was a 13-hour firefight. American authorities knew within seconds what was going down, mm-hmm. and specifically told our military stand down. They had drones on call within minutes. They had special forces on call. Drones were on call. Yeah, within minutes, yeah. And special forces were on call within a few hours. Mm-hmm. And instead, they let those men hang out to dry. Yeah. Christopher Stevens was tortured. Yeah. Was violated and tortured to death. Yeah. He wasn't killed by smoke inhalation, the way the media said.
Right.
And surprise, surprise, wait a minute. As you start to look up, we don't have an embassy in Benghazi. Our
right.
embassy is in the capital,
yeah.
Tripoli.
Yeah.
Oh, it turns out it was a CIA way station. Mm-hmm. They were giving jihadis weapons that they had stolen from the Libyan military. A stable government. And the weapons were in good hands. They weren't being used to murder innocent people. The Obama administration, under direction of the CIA under direction of the Vatican, ordered that nation to be sent into the Stone Age. My tax dollars, your tax dollars, made it happen. Our military, there were boots on the ground. Treason. It was an 8-month war that was never declared as a war. Ron Paul and Kucinich,
yes.
Pretended that they were going to impeach Obama. It was a joke. They got no support for him, and it was exactly what was planned. When you know it's like these votes that they have in Congress. If you have the 51 votes sealed, then you can have 49 of your puppets go out and make a big show of how they voted against it, but it made it through anyway.
Yeah.
That's how they work this.
Yes.
So you have this treason occur in Benghazi. When you have these good Americans, were held out to dry, and it's that's not the first time that's happened.
That's right.
The CIA that I call the Catholic Intelligence Agency have betrayed patriots again and again and again. As a matter of fact, the Bay of Pigs, which was blamed on Jack Kennedy, was conducted by the CIA. On purpose, McGeorge Bundy withheld the A-26 Invader, their fleet of six air support aircraft that could have easily turned the tide. What the CIA does, again and again, high treason. They sucker good patriots in communist nations to make a futile attempt against an overwhelming communist enemy. They did it in Cuba at the Bay of Pigs. They did it in Romania, Czechoslovakia, and Hungary. They call them out. They promise that they're going to give them aid. They leave them to hang out to dry. And then they call in their allies in these communist countries, particularly KGB. And whenever you see this sickening, shocking cooperation between two supposedly enemy intelligence agencies, it's the hallmark of the Vatican, of the Jesuits. The best example that comes to my mind right now is a book that I cited in my book, Target Patton by Robert Wilcox, a sickening, detailed expose of how the OSS and the NKVD, which was the military, the forerunner of the KGB, murdered our greatest, most patriotic field commander, George S. Patton, George Smith Patton.
Yes. Yeah.
Murdered him. There was no accident.
Right.
He was there was an assassin, an OSS assassin, on the orders of Knight of Malta, devout Roman Catholic William Donovan.
It took him twice to do it, too, right?
Yes. Shot him with a pneumatic gun that shot debris, took his scalp off, snapped his neck, but didn't kill him. Mm. He was a tough old son of a gun. He went to the hospital and started to recover. They leaked the information to the NKVD. The NKVD then showed up and murdered him, put an air bubble into his bloodstream, or injected him, I believe, and finished the job.
Yeah.
Who could possibly murder our most patriotic, our best field general? And why would they do that? George Patton, George Smith Patton, was going to blow the whistle on the Freemasonic traitors we had in our chain of command, who again worked against America's interest repeatedly in World War II, repeatedly held back our opportunities for a quick victory. And here's the sick part, because they were directed by the Vatican to maximize the slaughter of the Jews.
Yeah.
When they were done, they created a new enemy in the Soviet Union, which they controlled communism, created fabricated communism the same way they fabricated the Third Reich. And I have copious details of both in my book, including quite a number of citations. For instance, the Jesuit Bernard Stamfel, who wrote Mein Kampf for Hitler, all the way back to the fact that the most vicious Soviet communist of all time, Joseph Stalin, was not a Russian, he was a Georgian. He was specifically chosen, because he wasn't a Russian, to punish the good Russian people, to punish the Orthodox Christian Slavs, as a result of the Jesuits being evicted by Alexander the First in 1820. So that put them on the hit list of the Jesuits, and they viciously used their communist puppets, usually Jews that were put up as the face, from Trotsky through to Stalin himself.
Yeah.
Yosef Dushkashvili, his name means of the Jewish people. He was trained to be a Jesuit priest at the Orthodox Seminary in Tiflis. The Orthodox Seminary was secretly run by the Jesuits, and I have the citations in my book. Yes. It's the Hegelian dialectic. They have created the Cold War. Edmund Walsh was behind Joe McCarthy. Yeah. That's from the American Spectator. Look that up. American Spectator, Edmund Walsh, Jesuit priest, Joe McCarthy. Who put Joe McCarthy up to this antics? Mm-hmm. It was so obvious, Pastor Mike, that communists were running the American government that they needed some cover. And so the Jesuits created the antics of Joseph McCarthy, a Catholic, to viciously go after actual card-carrying communists in an attempt to go overboard with exposing the blatant communist involvement in the American government, and that's exactly what it did.
Yeah,
and
it worked.
We have this guilt, this humility over the McCarthyism and blacklisting. Oh, let me flagellate myself from what happened in Hollywood that was run by communists, so the American government run by communists. Who was at the bottom of it? The same guy that was in Nuremberg translating to screen the Vatican from her involvement, Pacelli was Pius XII, who was the legate, who was the Vatican in the 30s, the ambassador to the Vatican to Germany, Nazi Germany, leading up to World War II. Eugenio Pacelli, who became Pius XII, was known erroneously as Hitler's pope, the other way around. Hitler was Pacelli's man. Hitler was Pacelli's Führer. Should be the other way around. What they did is they created the Fourth Reich here in America. Mm-hmm. They used the Vatican rat lines by securing the best and worst of the Nazis out of Germany after the conclusion of the war to make sure that America, which had become the Vatican's sword arm, had an unnatural advantage. And as a result, America relied on former Nazis to create her intelligence agencies, to create her biological warfare, to create her a space agency, which in and of itself is a whole other issue. It's behind it the whole time.
Johnny, you mentioned Saul Alinsky earlier in our chat, and that got me to thinking about his most famous work, The Rules for Radicals. But it got me thinking about those strategies that he and others like him have utilized to destroy America. We're well on that path to experiencing a tremendous fall. Now, some people just don't want to believe that. But the truth is that our banking system could, in my opinion, collapse at any time. The strain and the stress on fiat currency, not just in America, but all over the world, could cause a collapse, an economic collapse. But even that, I believe, has been designed into the system. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to share a couple of things, and then I'd like your thoughts and comments on these, Johnny, because these are things that we see happening right here in America. And for some folks, unfortunately, they see these as isolated issues. They don't see any connection between them, But the fact is, it's like a spider's web that has been carefully constructed so that all these moving parts and issues can be coordinated together for maximum effect. And so these things, here are eight of them, and I'm just going to share them, and then I'll let you share your thoughts, Johnny. But in order to bring about the destruction of a society, the first thing that you need to take control of is health care. And so we can check that off the box. When you control health care, then you control people. Then you need to address poverty, but not in the way that most people think. You don't want to solve poverty. You want to increase it, because that, in effect, enslaves people. You want to create a mountain of debt, because debt, when it reaches a certain level, is unsustainable, and that means that you have a ready excuse to increase taxes, and that, in effect, creates more poverty. And then you need to take guns away from people, because you don't want them to be able to defend themselves against this ever-encroaching government. You want to create a welfare society, provide food, housing, income to people who essentially, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but this is the truth, provide all of this to people who are basically leeches. They have no intention of being functioning member, contributing member of society. They're just there for what they can get off of the hard work of other people. Then you have to re-educate people. You have to take control of our children and take control of the schools and teach them this new way of thinking. And then, of course, religion. You've got to remove Jesus Christ, and you have to substitute ecumenical nonsense. And then finally, throw this last one into the mix, and that is to create class warfare. You have to heighten racism, talk about racism. All of these things together, Johnny, we see them going on right now in America, purposely designed, built into our system. And here's my thoughts, and then I'll shut up and let you talk. But here's my thoughts. Not the most inept group of people would stumble across all of these things and coordinate all of them by accident. It's just not possible. But someone who designed a system to destroy a nation, take control of that nation and use it for its end purposes, could put all this together very easily through seizing politicians and seizing a government and controlling all of that. Is that crazy talk, or does any of that make sense?
Well, I would say anyone who doesn't believe that has their head buried in the sand. It's so clear. Again, Bess, it was so clear to me. It's the reason why I wrote the book Illuminati Unmasked in the first place, is that our own institutions are our worst enemy. Our own institutions actively seek to enslave us, to subvert us.
Yeah.
If you are a Christian, if you love Jesus Christ, if you love America, if you are in the middle class, you clearly are the target. You clearly are the one who has suffered the most at the hands of your own government and your own, your nation's financial institutions. The purposefully misnamed Federal Reserve is neither federal nor are there any reserves.
That's right.
Has destroyed our buying power. The average person today, the Federal Reserve was treasonously signed by Woodrow Wilson on, I think it was like December 24th, like the night before Christmas.
Yeah.
Improperly, in fact, might not even have been properly ratified into being. And as a result, in 1913, so today, your dollar is worth a nickel of what it was worth in 1913. Yeah. That's treason. Yeah. $19 trillion of debt is guaranteeing a fiscal collapse. That's treason. That's every single person in Congress traitor. Every single person that's been in the executive that has been a part of that is a traitor. Mm-hmm. The invasion of tens of millions of illegal aliens to water down the nation, to water down the culture of the nation, the identity of the nation, to be an overt terroristic threat is treason. There's not a single person in Congress that's not aware of that, and yet not one of them actively seeks to stop it. So how is it possible that we could have this kind of enemy? Oh my goodness. The CIA has been implicated in trafficking cocaine onto American streets. Great movie, Kill the Messenger, with Jeremy Renner, about a true story, based on a true story of Gary Webb from the San Jose Mercury News, who broke that story. Yep. And Gary subsequently got depressed and shot himself twice in the head. True story. So how is it possible? Here's a Salon.com. I have a reference from Salon.com of the CIA using LSD against unknowing American citizens and experiments on mind control.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. How do we have an institution that is so poisonous to our own people? Yeah. How do we have our own nation that is treating us as an enemy, taking away farms? Look, this country was the great experiment. The idea that there was no middle class before, there was feudalism before this nation was born. There was feudalism before this nation was born.
Yes. Yeah.
This country was the great experiment built on Jesus Christ, built on the Protestant work ethic, the idea that you could have a man who was, that didn't have a name for himself, that didn't have a royal lineage, and yet he could own property and defend it with a firearm. Pastor Mike, that was unheard of anywhere in human history, and it's really kind of unheard of today.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we have been under attack ever since. And this seems to be a systemic drive to push us back into feudalism.
Yeah.
That you have a peasantry that is dumbed down, that is poisoned, that is broken financially, that does all the hard work and is beat into line by a Praetorian class of police and military. And above the Praetorian class is a class of aristocrats. And above the class of aristocrats is a literal Luciferian ruling super elite.
Yes.
And that's what we almost have today anyway, whether we know it or not. Elections are a joke. Don't ask me who I'm voting for. I'm not voting for anybody in November. I'll be darn lucky to find someone at my local level that isn't co-opted or corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody at the top, from Hillary Clinton, that was installed on a mountain of cocaine during the Clinton administration by the CIA, to Donald Trump, Jesuit educated at Fordham. And Donald has shown how dedicated he is to being a buffoon and taking the, I call him a controlled outlet as well as controlled opposition. He'll take things that we want to say and then he'll make a fool out of himself in saying them so that we're humiliated. There is no one saying, making common sense statements about everything that we need to hear that isn't a puppet.
Yeah.
So what if you possibly are aware of any of this, and yet you don't think that there is a malignant power pulling all the strings, you're a very, very, very foolish person. You're an extremely foolish person. And so as a result, I would say we've been talking about it all night. Who is it? Who is pulling the strings, and what is their goal? It's the fourth and final beast. Prophecy, scripture has told you that. It's Rome, from Daniel 2 to Daniel 7 to Revelation 13. The four different portions of Nebuchadnezzar's statue, the head of gold, the torso of silver, the loins of bronze, and the legs and feet and toes of iron, and iron mixed with miry clay, to the four great beasts of Daniel chapter, the Daniel's vision in chapter 7.
Yeah.
that the fourth and final beast is unlike any other. It was Daniel couldn't even find a description for the fourth and final beast because rather than the three previous beasts of Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece, the fourth beast, Rome, mutates and transforms. Previous to that, those political military entities, in order to control you, put a soldier on your street corner. And if you didn't do what the emperor told you, he killed you.
Yeah.
Today, this new beast puts your own police officer on street corner, and unbeknownst to you, has your police officer treat you like a military enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And that explains it all. And what is the solution? The solution is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The solution is that simple. It's Jesus Christ, first and foremost. I tell people, look, if you're terrified because now you've received this information and you're so you feel overwhelmed, there's nothing you can do. There is something you can do.
Yes.
You get on your knees before the Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost. You don't stop there. We are stewards. We don't cower in fear waiting for the rapture to take us home. We're told to occupy until Christ's return and be a good and faithful servant.
Yes.
So you safeguard everything that he has placed in your hand. If you're the male head of the household, that means your wife and your children. You safeguard what has been placed in your hands. And if you have the means to safeguard more than them, then you reach out and try to wake people up. And I'll tell you, Pastor, you prayed, and I don't know if we got that the prayer in the broadcast, but it's absolutely stirring that you should ask for anyone to come to Christ as a result of this information. There is no higher calling than for someone to receive this information about the military, about intelligence agencies, about world machinations, about gun control and communism, and have that shock them into the realization that they need salvation.
Yes.
Because that is the first step. And once you receive Jesus Christ, you need to be bold in that relationship. You need to live for him. It's no coincidence that the best movie to date of Christ's sacrifice was made by devout Roman Catholic Mel Gibson.
Right.
And was handled by a Jesuit priest named William J. Foucault, who did all of the Aramaic translating for Mel Gibson. And in spite of all that, in spite of the fact that it was tinted with that Gnostic Luciferian lens that the Jesuits tint with, it was still a powerful, powerful movie. And I recommend at least to see that. And I want to say this earlier in regards to, you know, the TV show Lucifer, anything coming out of Hollywood. Look, you cannot be protected from everything. The way you protect yourself is to love, ground yourself in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you're grounded in Jesus Christ, then you are able to handle what the enemy, the adversary, throws at you. Watch that movie, The Passion. Overcome these odd Gnostic, Catholic, and Luciferian influences, and realize that it's pretty darn close to what the Lord endured for you.
Yeah.
If he would endure that to you, he did it. First of all, he did it willingly.
Yes.
He purposefully allowed himself to be put in their hands.
Yes.
If he can do that for you, what do you need to do in your life for him? Is it that big a deal? Do you have to be scourged and have railroad strikes driven into your hands and feet? Probably not. All you have to do is listen to his voice, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and do those painful things that he said you should be doing. If you're having problems with pornography on the internet, then you need to rein it in. And you need to ask for your wife or your husband to help watch it out for you, to help give you accountability.
Yes.
If you're drinking too much, then you need to rein that in. And you need to control that. Jesus said, if you love him, you will sacrifice, you will die to yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. Matthew chapter 10, that's a stirring passion. Die to yourself in order to follow Christ. And it's a sad thing that most people don't like that message, but it is the most freeing thing you could possibly ever do.
Amen.
And once you're freed from yourself, listen, you are a slave.
Mm-hmm.
You're a slave, period. Paul in Romans tells you you're a slave. You're either a slave to sin,
mm-hmm.
or you're a willing bondservant to your Savior.
Yes.
I would much rather choose who I serve than allow my lusts and my sin to dictate to me every pothole, every disaster that I'm pulled into by the enemy and by those lusts.
Yes, yes.
Once you surrender, once you make yourself a bond servant to the King of Kings, he will elevate you and empower you, and he will give you power. I have on my YouTube channel that the scene from the movie The Matrix, where Morpheus is showing Neo in this simulation. He's trying to teach him about threats and the people around him, and he gets distracted by the pretty woman in a red dress. And he says, "Were you listening to me or watching her?" And she transforms, and Agent Smith becomes his worst enemy, right?
Yes.
That's what the power of Jesus Christ can give you. It can give you power and self-control. You can reign in yourself, and therefore, you can no longer be dictated. You can no longer be pulled around by your lusts. It is truly, truly empowering, and it is the beginning of resistance, and that's why I name my show Resistance is Rising, because it is. This system, as terrible, as frightening, as shocking as it is, it's a house of cards.
Yes.
They have to do everything in secret, because once we're aware of it, the people in their hearts are made in the image of Christ.
Yeah.
They will automatically react to a Luciferian world system with anger.
Mm-hmm.
And they will pick up the pitchforks and torches,
yeah,
and they will do these Luciferians in, and that is their worst nightmare.
Yeah.
They don't have, with all the money and resources and military and intelligence they have all over the world, not enough.
That's
how
right.
many? Seven yeah. billion people now? 8 billion?
Yeah.
There's no way they can control a fraction of the world's population.
Yeah.
And with the power of Jesus Christ waking people up, I'm telling you, the future is bright. I read the end of the book, and we win.
Amen. Amen. Well, that takes care of encouraging our listeners, Johnny, because that was going to be my final question. Okay, so after hearing all this, I don't want people to be fearful, because we're not given a spirit of fear. We are to be encouraged in Christ and know that he's coming again very soon. And so I appreciate that those encouraging words. The book is Illuminati Unmasked, Everything You Need to Know About the New World Order and How We Will Beat It. And that is a fact. Christ wins. Folks, let me say this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, if you've never made that profession of faith, if you've never come face to face with the fact that you are a sinner separated from a holy God by your sin, but God wants to forgive you. He is offering mercy and grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. If you've never considered that before, then I want to encourage you to consider it now. And wherever you're at, cry out to God and ask him to forgive you, and then receive that forgiveness and live and walk as a disciple. It's as simple as that. And I encourage you to do that, friends. Johnny, it has been a great pleasure, a great conversation. I appreciate you taking the time to join me on this episode. And I think we have lots more to talk about. So even though it took us a while to get this one scheduled, we'll try to do it again real soon.
Pastor Mike, you're a dear and loyal friend to both myself, my family, and my work, and I am at your service. I'm excited. I enjoyed myself thoroughly, and would love to do it again anytime in the near future.
Thank you so much, Johnny. Again, the book is Illuminati Unmasked. It's available on Amazon, and can they get it on your website, Johnny?
Absolutely. JohnnySirucci.com, JohnnyCirucci, and there's links to my latest writing, my interviews, and please send me a link for this, Pastor Mike, and
sure.
There's a link for the book as well.
Amen. All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode, folks. God bless you. Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email